WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. A close late-night vote in the Senate over the nomination of Pete Hegseth to be defense secretary, with Vice President Vance called in.
On this vote, the yeas are 50 and the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative and the nomination is confirmed.
The tie came after three Republican defections, including from their former leader.
Mr. McConnell, no.
Along with Maine Senator Susan Collins, and from Alaska,
Ms. Murkowski, no.
All Democrats voted against Hegseth. President Trump toured wild, ravaged areas around Los Angeles, as CBS's Erica Brown reports.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump landed in Los Angeles to see the wildfire devastation that also claimed more than two dozen lives.
Tremendous numbers of lives have been affected. A lot of real estate has been affected. Nobody's ever probably seen anything like this. You can almost say since the Second World War, and we're going to get it fixed, so we'll get it permanently fixed.
Earlier, the first couple visited North Carolina Friday to see firsthand the damage left behind by Hurricane Helene 4 months ago.
And while there, Trump said he is considering, quote, getting rid of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. The ceasefire in Gaza is holding, and CBS's Remy Innocenzo reports from Tel Aviv that means another exchange of hostages and prisoners.
Hamas has released the names of four more Israeli hostages, which will be a huge relief, of course, to their families here in Israel after the past 15 months of captivity. They are all female soldiers, aged either 19 or 20, and in keeping with a statement given by Hamas official earlier this week. Now, the next step, which is expected to be Saturday, is the exchange of these four hostages for 200 Palestinian detainees.
The Trump administration says it has begun flying undocumented immigrants out of the country using military planes. This comes as Mayor Ross Baraka of Newark, New Jersey, is blasting Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials for carrying out what he calls an unconstitutional raid.
In Newark, ICE agents raided a business without a warrant.
We can't just let this happen and not say anything.
Newark's mayor slammed the operation.
We believe that there were three people who they say were undocumented that they detained, but they also detained folks that were, in fact, citizens of this country.
CBS's Nicole Skanga reporting. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has ordered a freeze on new funding for almost all U.S. foreign assistance. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Nurses are calling attention to the rise of artificial intelligence in healthcare. Mike Moen reports.
Last week, thousands of nurses around the U.S. held rallies demanding the hospital industry ensure safeguards as AI technology finds its way into care settings. Minnesota Nurses Association President Chris Rubish, also a cardiac nurse from Duluth, says he and his colleagues aren't opposed to AI innovation, but adds the rapid pace of adoption requires deep analysis. He says administrators should know they simply can't replace decision-making by humans in critical moments.
And it's quite common for the computer program that's already built in to accidentally misinterpret a heart rhythm, right? It happens. Machines aren't perfect.
Researchers have made progress in seeing AI help diagnose certain patients, such as those being treated for skin cancer. However, the Medical Group Management Association says it should still be a complementary tool, noting ethical considerations regarding patient data privacy. Hospital systems are increasingly dealing with budget pressures, but Rubish says finding efficiencies shouldn't come at the expense of patient care.
Healthcare can't be boiled down to dollars and cents. These are human lives, not revenue-generating units.
Rubish says bargaining units for roughly 15,000 Minnesota nurses will be negotiating new contracts this spring, and he anticipates artificial intelligence will come up in those discussions. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For more news that matters to Wisconsin, head to civicmedia.us. You can also navigate from there to your local station. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Right now it's 22.
Earl Ingram.
The dismantling of diversity, equity, and inclusion under Donald Trump has already begun. On the next show, we'll talk with Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus about what DEI really is.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Friday, January 24th. Today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.11. The average price for a dozen of eggs in Wisconsin, $5.09. Hey, if you would like to keep up to date on what is going on around the state of Wisconsin, and in particular in your community, sign up for the Civic Media newsletter. Our mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. Get it all by subscribing to the Civic Media newsletter today. Just go to civicmedia.us/email and sign up. You can also sign up to get podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You can subscribe to our podcasts.
We have two podcasts.
And where would people find them?
Go to civicmedia.us and click on the shows tab, which is in the top right position. And you can find our show, Matinair on Air. And inside the Matinair on Air show, where you can download the episodes, you can also find This Shouldn't Be a Thing episodes as well. Or go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice, look up our name, which is a bit, you know.
It's not, a little tricky. It's M-A-T-E-N-A-E-R.
There you go. And then you can find our shows there.
And if you leave a comment or...
If you leave us a five-star review, that actually helps the show. You will push us up in ratings. You will push us up in findability. So... You know, if we've deserved a five-star review, please do so. If we haven't deserved anything but a five-star review, send all of those to Calvin's personal home address. That
exactly.
is 123 Happy Street. I believe that is in Waterloo, Wisconsin.
There you go. Perfect.
There you go.
We have one of our videos, actually, that's done quite well. At least it's got a lot of views.
Yeah.
Calling it doing well might not be exactly accurate.
In the land of social media,
yeah,
one would say it's doing quite well. It is our video where we talked about guns and we referenced a Jon Stewart interview with a sitting state legislator
from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. It's currently sitting at 884,000 views.
Wow.
With 35,500 likes and nearly 8,500 comments. And all the comments, Jane, are respectful.
I'm sure they are.
And kind. What's funny is that you constantly said to me, you think they're making fun of us and like telling us calling us names and telling us what we can do with ourselves.
Yes.
They're really just arguing with each other.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I will say this, I'm glad you brought this up. There is one slight inaccuracy in that video, and that's on me, is that I said that Australia, when there was a mass shooting there back in the 90s, they banned the guns. They didn't ban guns. You can still get guns in Australia. It's not easy to get them there, but what they did was they banned the guns that were part of that incident.
Mass shooting.
Which were, I believe, automatic weapons and semi, like, it was weapons that I don't think we need to be having anyways.
Weapons of war?
Weapons of war, weapons that belong on a soldier, not on a guy, you know, who lives out in the suburbs. But that's a wholly different argument. But yeah, it's doing great. And I want to know, are we the first to hit a million? Will we be the first at a million? I don't know.
You can check it out. Where can people find that video?
You can find us on social media. So that's the Instagram page. You can find, so Instagram, we're still on Twitter. We're on Facebook, and and those are the three majors. You can find Matt and Aaron here, all one word. And then you can find us all on Civic Media's YouTube page.
That's one of the easier places to go, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, look for us on the Civic Media page on YouTube, and like or leave a comment.
And you can follow us on our own personal stuff, too, because we're That'd on be the nice. Blue skies and whatnot.
That'd be nice. Wanted to start off. We have Dan Schaefer coming up. He's going to be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour so we can do some recombobulating. But I wanted to start off with, and this will be, we head towards the election on April 1st.
Yeah.
The primary is February 18th.
Correct.
The election is April 1st for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Yes, getting to know Brad. Let's get to know Brad Schimmel, the Republican who is running against Susan Crawford for the next spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. From WPR, Anya Van Wagendonk, with an article today, says dueling Wisconsin Supreme Court adds focus on rape kit backlog. You're going to be hearing a lot about this.
Yes.
As we head towards this election, which, by the way, is going to be here before we know it. And my request to you would be, if you learned something from listening to us, share that.
Yes.
Share that with the people that you know. Share it with your friends and people in your circle, because we all get our news from different sources. It helps. It helps if you share what you know.
I know it's a lot to ask because people are very busy, but we do show notes at the end of the show. Everything we were telling you before about how to find the show on the website, you can do that, and you can find our show notes. You'll find the articles we're referring to, and you can share those articles with your friends and family and get more information from them, because we're giving you quick overviews of these stories, and a lot of them go deeper. They're much longer.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we always want to make sure that you're getting the full information of what we're referencing.
So these rape kits, this is going to be coming up a lot. You're going to be hearing a lot about this. When Brad Schimmel was attorney general, the backlog of rape kits was about 6,000 when he took office as Wisconsin's attorney general in 2015. Brad Schimmel served until 2019. In a recent campaign ad for him, Mr. Schimmel says his office cleared 4,000 of those rape kits during his time in office. On the other side, Susan Crawford released a different ad focusing on his early years as attorney general, and her ad says he let 6,000 rape kits sit untested for 2 years. So here's breaking this down just a little bit. As of early 2017, when Schimmel was attorney general, his office said the state had cleared 9 of those 6,000 backlogged tests. 9 out of 6,000. This was after the U.S. Department of Justice sent $4 million in grant funds to Wisconsin to help clearing these rape kits. A spokesperson for Brad Schimmel at the time said the Department of Justice was following proper protocols for respecting survivors.
What?
And adhering to the requirements of the grant money. About a year and a half later, much of that backlog had been cleared. Schimmel announced in 2018 that all but 5 of the backlogged rape kits had been cleared, using about $7 million in total grant funding. This ahead of his reelection campaign when he ran against Josh Call, who had criticized the way Schimmel handled these backlogged rape kits and ultimately defeated him. Schimmel said in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we didn't delay anything. We didn't set anything aside. This was done as quickly as possible. Yeah, it seems like he kind of sat on these for months and months and months. And then Josh Call started running ads about this, and then it seemed like there was a little bit of a scramble.
Yeah.
To get these kits cleared.
It wasn't so much, so they were respecting survivors.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just reading the quote.
It just seems like a very convenient excuse to me. Because I've never heard that used by anybody. I've never been in that situation, but I would think that someone who has endured such a traumatic event would want the evidence to be processed as soon as possible.
Yes.
To move forward on possible case or cases.
Schimmel and Crawford again. Brad Schimmel, Susan Crawford running to replace outgoing Liberal Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. This will determine whether the Wisconsin Supreme Court keeps its 4-3 Liberal majority or it flips back to a conservative majority. And I want to remind folks again, if we elect Brad Schimmel, we're going to go back to super gerrymandered maps. That we will. Okay. We're going to go back to super gerrymandered maps. And we're going to go back to that 1849 abortion ban.
And there'll be a bunch of other things they'll repeal or revert. Because it's just going to be now about going back and undoing all the work that's been done just in the past year and a half. So,
and going back is a good way to put it, because they want us to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Only, I don't know, a couple hundred years. 100 years.
They're asking
1849.
For, they're asking.
Things were so good back then.
It's not even 200 years, Jane. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Get on board. You're being emotional about it.
I am a lady.
You are.
You know, that's one of my flaws. The other thing to keep in mind, and this just broke yesterday, kind of in the middle of the show, Elon Musk, now all hot about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. This should make people go, what? Elon Musk, the world's richest man, has now waded into Wisconsin's Supreme Court race. Musk posted Tuesday on what used to be Twitter, quote, very important to vote Republican for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to prevent voting fraud, unquote. There is no massive voting fraud, my friends. It has been in court over and over and over again. And I don't care what Mike Johnson says about how they know intuitively that there is massive voter fraud going on. There's no evidence about that. And if Republicans are to welcome Elon stepping into this, then I don't want to hear any more complaints about Zuckerbucks, although that's all gone.
No.
But remember the outcry about that?
Yeah.
When Mark Zuckerberg was leaning a little bit more Democratic? Those were the days. And it was Zuckerbucks, he's influencing it. We can't have that. But this is fine.
Well, and now the new Zuckerberg is just fine with them. And I will say this.
Oh, yeah.
If you want any idea of where Elon's politics are truly going, look at who he's backing over in Europe. He's backing far right candidates. I'll just say this. Elon, stay out of Wisconsin. You don't belong here. You have no business being in this state. You don't care about voter fraud because none of this affects you.
You are
a billionaire hundreds of times over. Keep your nose out of this state because we don't want you. You are useless here.
I just want to hear the same amount of outrage from Republicans if Elon starts dumping a whole bunch of money into this race to buy this seat for Brad Schimmel. I'm sure Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu
and Brian Schimming
and all those, they will just be screeching about,
yeah,
this is not America. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are on the vast statewide, countrywide. We're global on the app, baby. Oh, yeah. On the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores. Apples and bananas, 10 to 53% more. And cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10 o'clock news, we're going to talk about ignorance is bliss. Really? And then all the best people, round two, of course, second Trump administration, some of his nominees for his cabinet going to be coming up for a vote later tonight. That is Pete Hegseth. We're going to have a little chat about Mr. Hegseth. Dan Schaefer will be here after 11 o'clock from the recombobulation area. He's also Civic Media's political editor. Number of things we're going to talk about with Dan, including Wisconsin connections to the Trump administration, Tammy Baldwin's vote on the Lake and Riley Act, Tom Tiffany. Remember Tom?
Barely.
Tom Tiffany, big fan of the Apostle Islands.
Big fan of drilling and mining and development.
Yeah, that part of it. And Ron Johnson on tech stuff. And, of course, we're still going to talk about the fallout from that CBS 58 meteorologist who lost her job after criticizing Elon Musk for making a Nazi salute. That's all coming up with Dan Schaefer next hour. We will wrap everything up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the That Bites edition, so stick around for that. We do have a question on the live stream came in about, I have a new blog. Earth shattering.
Okay.
It's about soup. It's about the soup saga.
Yeah.
You can find it. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, click on Matinair on Air, and you will find it there.
And if you want to know what it's referring to, you can always go back to civicmedia.us, click the shows page, and listen to the episodes where we covered
the
soup saga.
I have links in my blog about that.
There are soup links in the soup story. Jane Matinair, the soups. So it's like Soup Wars, and you're like Jane Skywalker, Jane Soup Walker.
Yeah, really.
I can see it up in lights right now.
Societal changing blogs. So that's what you're coming.
We're
going
to write a treatment after this and sell it to Hollywood.
Excellent. Right now, though, I wanted to do a little short segment about why can't we have nice things in Wisconsin? What is it? Headline reads from Cleo Critchie in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, $50 million to change how kids learn in Wisconsin could end up in state surplus.
Of course.
Without any action. Lawmakers have already agreed that we want schools to change the way they teach kids to read. This was approved last year.
Yeah.
And it is a mandated program.
Bipartisan support.
Which means schools have to implement this.
Which means schools implemented it.
They did implement this. The only thing they're lacking is the money to pay for the program because the Joint Finance Committee continues to sit on the $50 million that's been approved. I'll say it again. The money has been approved, but the Joint Finance Committee in Wisconsin won't release it. If this money isn't spent by the end of June, guess what, Greg?
What, Jane?
It goes back into the state surplus.
Where $4.5 billion languishes.
Right now.
Just sits there doing nothing.
Yep.
Until Robin Voss can figure out a way to
give it to Diane Hendricks.
Maybe the Elines as well. I mean,
this measure requires Wisconsin schools to shift to a phonics-based approach, which is how I learned how to read.
Yeah, me too.
Back in the dark ages. And I don't think that's a bad thing. The only thing, again, is that schools are mandated to implement this, and the Republicans in the legislature won't release the money. In February of last year, Governor Evers vetoed certain portions of Act 100 under which this money comes. GOP lawmakers sued in response, arguing that the governor's vetoes were unconstitutional. The governor countersued. A judge ruled in his favor but didn't authorize release of that $50 million. The legislature appealed that decision to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and that's where it is sitting.
Just trying to teach kids how to read, folks.
The $50 million would allow the state's Department of Public Instruction to create a new literacy office, a council on early curricula, a statewide literacy coaching program, and they could hire some reading specialists, which all sounds important if we want to help our kids learn how to read, which is kind of important.
I feel like it's got good ramifications in the long run, kids reading. That's fine. That's great.
State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underle, along with a Republican lawmaker, Joel Kitchens, Republican from Sturgeon Bay, they both agree that that money should get released.
So what are we doing? Like, seriously.
Jill Underle says, our kids deserve better. I want to stand firmly with no malice on behalf of Wisconsin's children and educators. State legislators, release the money. This is why we can't have nice things.
And notice how she's had to say no malice, because you're making a bold claim like release the money to support the reading program, and you have to worry about blowback, pushback, and other things like that, like lawsuits. This is why we can't have nice things.
Release the money that you approved and mandated for these programs, guys.
Which is just, by the way, folks, and I know we talk about it a lot, but if you're a new listener, this is just one of many things that have been approved by the State House where money is sitting there and it needs to be released, and it's not.
PFAS money for people who have in Wisconsin who have been drinking bottled water for years because their water is poisoned. That money's still sitting in there.
Funding for hospitals.
Yeah, that money's still sitting in there, too. Yeah,
it's just sitting there.
And keep this in the back of your mind. Keep things like this in the back of your mind when you go to cast your vote for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
That plays a part in this as well.
Yes.
Cleansing breath.
I need a cleansing walk outside in the 0-degree weather just to like let the cold hit me and make me feel feelings again.
We have news coming up next when we return. Ignorance is bliss. We'll kick that around. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. Vice President J.D. Vance cast a late-night tie-breaking vote to confirm Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense. CBS's Caitlin Huey-Burns tells us there are more confirmations to come.
Next week is shaping up to be a consequential one when Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and Kash Patel all face their confirmation hearings.
President Trump toured wildfire devastation in Southern California.
We're going to work very hard with the mayor, the governor, the supervisor, and everybody, and get the resources behind you.
Another round of hostages is set to be released by Hamas within hours as the ceasefire deal with Israel holds.
The aid flowing into Gaza is quite significant. 600 trucks a day are required to enter Gaza as part of the deal. The UN reports that 653 trucks, for example, entered on Thursday.
CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinograd. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Marquette over Villanova. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Marquette glided to an 87-74 win over Villanova in Milwaukee last night. Chase Rose had 18, Cam Jones scoring 16 points. In the Big Ten, the Wisconsin Badgers hosting the Nebraska Cornhuskers tomorrow at noon. Wisconsin back from that tough 85-83 loss to UCLA. Greg Gard.
We'll go through the film here today and learn from it and quickly turn the page. You see every night in this league, it's very competitive, and you're going to have some really good times, and you can't get enamored with those, and you're going to take one on the chin here or there, and you can't get overwhelmed with that. They're upset. They know we didn't play up to our ability, specifically defensively, and you know, I think quite frankly, we feel we should be 7-1 right now in the league. We're not. I expect nothing less than them to bounce back and be ready to go today and tomorrow and prep for Nebraska Sunday.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Currently 21 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Hey, hockey fans, tonight, Wisconsin against Michigan. Our broadcast starts tonight at 6:30. You can listen on WFHR and 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids. You want to listen to that hockey action tonight. Wisconsin at Michigan, our broadcast starts at 6:30 tonight on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Coming up after 11 o'clock, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We're going to wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the, well, that Bites Edition. And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. You can use that same email if there's a guest you think would be good for us to have on, if there's something going on in your community that you think needs some highlights, just let us know. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Right before we went to the news, we were talking about why can't we have nice things in Wisconsin? Because Republicans just don't want to move on anything. And a good reminder, too, this is from Scott Bauer, who works for the Associated Press. Let's just remember this. Republicans who control the state Senate still, in his second term, have not confirmed 11 of Governor Evers' 17 cabinet secretaries. One of these people is in her fifth year of working for the administration and still has not had her position confirmed.
This is just a, this is just like the junk they pull in Washington when Mitch McConnell ran the play. I mean, it's not going to stop either, but like this whole thing of, yeah, we don't have to do it. What do you mean we don't have to do it? Like there's a dead Supreme Court justice. Well, we won't fill it. We don't have to. It's fine. But meanwhile, once again, if let's say the Democrats ran the Senate, state Senate, and
did the same thing,
Governor Tim Michaels, I'll pull a name out. Tim Michaels was in the same position. They would be unloading holy terror on every right-wing radio station, newspaper, every outlet would be like, how dare they do this?
Going against the will of the people.
Going against the will of the people. In a representative democracy, talking to you, Robin Voss, this is the voice of the people that's been silenced. They'd be wetting their pampers over this.
There's no question.
But they do this all the time. And in the last segment, the Joint Finance Committee, controlled by, wait for it, Republicans, are holding back money for who? The people.
Money that's been approved.
Our money. Tax money. It's just so infuriating. And sometimes I want to shake Democrats and be like, do something.
Make some noise about this.
Yes.
Make some noise about it. All right, we're going to move on to, ignorance is bliss. Is it? Headline reads from the Washington Post, Trump officials pause health agencies' communications. These agencies are charged with making decisions that affect the lives of every American, including here in Wisconsin, and are the source of crucial information to healthcare providers. So think about this. The Trump administration, beginning of this week, told federal health agencies to stop all external communications. So that means health advisories, weekly scientific reports, updates to websites, all stopped. The more we know, the less we know, the better off we are, apparently.
That old NBC thing, the stars just crashing into the ground, the less you know.
Staffers at the Department of Health and Human Services, including the FDA, the Centers for Disease Control, and the National Institute of Health, just a day after the administration took office, we're told they're doing some reviews. And so for right now, we're not going to communicate anything. This includes scientific reports from the CDC, including the annual mortality weekly report. These advisories get sent out to doctors' clinics on the CDC Health Alert Network about public health incidents. You know, there's this little thing called bird flu that's kind of floating around.
Yeah, it's a hoax.
Oh, is it a hoax?
Yeah, people find, do you got a bird? You don't got a bird, you don't have to worry about it. The birds won't touch you. Like, it's just so frustrated by this.
They've stopped data updates to the CDC website, public health data releases from the National Center for Health Statistics. That organization tracks a whole bunch of health trends, including drug overdoses. The CDC was supposed to publish several reports this week, including three about the avian flu outbreak. And now we're not going to get those while the Trump administration is doing its review.
Oh, now they're taking their time. They didn't take their time reviewing all the all of the sentences for all the J6 guys. They're just like, hey, you're free.
Oh, we don't have time for that.
But this is going to deserve a fine-tooth comb.
Right, right. They didn't have time. It was too onerous to go over the January 6th attackers case by case, Greg. Too onerous, too much. 1,500 whole cases, Greg. They don't have time for that. So he just gave them all a blanket pardon. It's not clear from the new administration's guidance on whether this directive will affect more urgent communications like, I don't know, foodborne disease outbreaks, drug approvals, and new avian bird flu cases. Don't tell them.
I'm just going to say this. If COVID was any indication, and that's when there were guardrails on him, when he had experts next to him, telling him, hey, stop telling people to eat light and rub their bodies in bleach. There are no guardrails anymore. If there is a, if there is anything coming close to a pandemic happening, when will we find out? And the problem is it'll be outside sources telling us, and then no one will be believed because they are part of the left-wing agenda to brainwash us and turn us into mindless zombies of the left. It's, he's going to, there's going to be...
The ramifications from this are massive. Massive.
There's already so many dead people from COVID on his hands because of the way they handled this thing. We got 4 years. Things happen in time. A bird flu happening. This happens once or twice a year. What's the justification? And why will there never be any responsibility taken by them?
Well, don't forget Project 2025, which, of course, if your friends hadn't heard about it, it's not important.
No,
it's not
going to
happen.
No.
If I haven't heard about it, then it doesn't mean anything. That's some of the responses we heard when we were talking about Project 2025. In Project 2025, they call for any scientific findings that do not align with the opinion of the administration should be removed.
Yeah. Yep.
So anything that counters the prevailing message out of the White House, even though that messaging might be accurate, they're going to remove it.
And the CDC generally, they're one of their big goals is accuracy. So we won't be probably seeing anything coming from them anytime soon. They'll just, I don't know, just maybe they'll get a new, maybe they'll get reassigned to another case. Maybe they'll just get new jobs. I mean, that's the thing is I know somebody who works in the government and they're looking for a new job right now, not because they think they're going to be fired, because they know that their life's going to get boring because they can't do the work they want to do.
Well, they want to stop all... Bob Kennedy has already talked about stopping all cancer research for at least 2 years. 855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack on the line. Good morning, sir. What do you want to chime in about this?
Yeah, you already beat me to it on part of it. The Project 2025 stuff. I mean, basically, one of the premises, I don't have the exact quote, but it said that all scientific findings and regulatory findings and so on and so forth must be in alignment with quote-unquote conservative principles.
Yeah.
And as a scientist, this is one of the most frightening things I've ever heard because, of course, anything that, as you said, anything that doesn't align with what the administration wants you to know, well, let's, you know, we'll just squash it and we'll look for findings that support our position, no matter what, you know, how inaccurate the source might be, no matter how questionable those findings might be. I mean, this is one of the most dangerous things that I see. And in terms of physical dangers to the entire U.S.
This is dangerous. Crazy. This is dangerous for all of us, Jack.
This is dangerous to the world.
It is. Absolutely.
I was going to say, I'm not a very smart man, apparently. And Jack, I'm glad you brought up the whole must align with conservative values. And when I think conservative values, one of the first things I think, top of the list, maybe, pro-life. Now, take that notion, that value. Wouldn't we want our CDC to be the shining beacon on the hill of research and development so we could inform, protect, and keep life? That just seems very in line with a pro-life standard. Not so much this keep everything in the darkness, squash research. Don't tell the people about what's going on because, you know, that's when people, I don't know, die.
Jack, it's kind of like the old saying about growing mushrooms. You just keep them in the dark and you feed them crap.
Yeah. That's very, very familiar. There are two major other issues besides the CDC stuff. One of which is, of course, global warming, and the other is environmental degradation. And conservative principles basically say, yeah, let's just let the environment, corporations and big business do whatever they want yep. to, including mm-hmm. whatever they want to with the environment.
Yep. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate your calling and always for listening. Laura from Wisconsin Rapids on the text line. I'm worried about our food. Pork recalls, beef recalls, bird flu in chickens and eggs, by the way. Veggies and fruits are going to be affected by the manure fertilizer as well. I am very worried.
But yet they're all going crazy because they banned red dye number 3. And they think, oh boy, here comes Robert F. Kennedy getting rid of all these other seed oils. You're next.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if Robert Kennedy gets confirmed. Tammy Baldwin didn't meet with him. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about this with Dan Schaefer a little bit after 11 o'clock. And said that she's, after meeting with Robert Kennedy Jr., she's even more concerned about him getting confirmed to head our health agencies. The guy who has no medical experience, no medical background. He's a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer.
I mean, there's Juris Doctor in the title, but not doctor of anything worth anything here. But yeah, but he's the guy who's going to say, why? Because he does push-ups and he has abs. Oh, my God. I know people who do push-ups and ads have abs. I would never let them near my health.
When we return.
If we return, I might just run away.
We're going to talk all the best people. Round 2 in the Trump administration, Pete Hegseth, to lead our Department of Defense. The vote is expected to come up for him tonight. 2 Republicans coming out formally against him. I'll tell you why that's not going to make any difference, and he will get confirmed. That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, repeat? Did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way. I've seen all good people turn their heads.
Good morning, welcome, welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, Dan Schaefer, author of The Recombobulation Area, and also Civic Media's political editor, will be joining us. We'll be talking about a number of things happening in Wisconsin. We're also going to touch on the manliest of manly men, Jesse Waters.
Oh, he's saying things again.
Yes, Jesse Waters from Fox has thoughts on more manly man thoughts.
He
guys,
should release a book
of the manliest manly thoughts from a manly man.
A manly book about manly thoughts. Oh, for manly men.
There's so much potential there. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Yeah, guys, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yep.
Because if you do this, according to testicle bronzing Jesse Waters, you're not a manly man. So
sorry.
We're just trying to help you.
Yeah, I mean,
just trying to help. All the best people, round two. Donald Trump, of course, said in his first administration he was going to surround himself with all the best people, not counting the fastest turnaround of staffers, I think, in the history of the presidency.
He had 44 cabinet members.
Yeah. Whoosh. Oh, that one's gone. Whoop, yep. That. Oh, we lost another one. Now, among the best people this time around, Pete Hegseth, of course. The 44-year-old former Fox Weekend host, which totally qualifies him, wants to head up the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
Pete allegedly has had a few drinking problems in the past.
He has a drinking problem.
He has had some, lots of sexual infidelity problems. Now he's found Jesus, so that's all in the past. That's like the get out of jail free card for everything.
Ask Russell Brand.
Yeah, no, we could do a whole show about that. Pete Hegseth has admitted he had a non-disclosure agreement with a woman who accused him of raping her. He paid her $50,000, and also has a non-disparagement clause for his ex-wife. She cannot publicly speak ill of him. That's in their divorce agreement. Her sister doesn't. And has had some very interesting things to say about what life was like for her sister when married to Pete Hegseth. Yeah. She had a safe word. She had a safe word that she would use with friends and family when she needed to get away from him because she was afraid of him. But that's all. He's so qualified, Greg.
I mean, Jane, I don't even know if I believe it. I feel like...
Well,
I,
you know, you're right along with Senator Tom Tillis.
Oh, he gets it? He gets the real world?
Senator Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina, says he will support Pete Hegseth to run our military unless, quote, there is firsthand corroborated testimony on his alleged spousal abuse and sex crimes. So if there was no one to witness him attacking his wife or sexually assaulting someone, it's not valid. There's no proof.
That's the same junk I heard people say when Bill Cosby was being accused of sexually assaulting and raping
repeated
like 4 dozen women was you weren't there. Oh, so I have to have
witness.
I have to have a firsthand witness to, and even though women said that it had happened, that's not good enough.
Well, no.
So the sister who can't speak because of, by the way, folks, if you have to put a non-disparaging clause into your divorce agreement, you're probably a piece of trash.
Well, that just, it raises some questions.
Yeah. Like, how terrible is Pete Hegseth? I mean, that's just a general broad question. But if the sister, if her testimony, you know, just isn't good enough.
Right. No. And again, Senator Tillis will only accept firsthand corroboration. So people have to witness the rape, the sexual assault. Otherwise, it didn't happen. So I guess in the only instance that Senator Tom Tillis would be happy with is the French man who invited men to rape his unconscious wife for about a decade. So that would be a witness involved. And you know what? In that case, they were found guilty.
Yeah.
So I guess there's
I just have a feeling that Senator Tillis still wouldn't buy it. When you put up such roadblocks, such a slalom to get through, it's like you were going to vote for him anyways. Pete Hegseth could say, I did that. And you'd probably be like, you learned your lesson.
Oh, he had a reason.
You love Jesus.
Well, she wanted it.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah.
And Susan Collins.
Oh, God.
They can bite me. Yeah. I'm sorry, but they've said they're not going to vote for him. The deciding vote is going to go to J.D. Vance. Pete Hegseth will get confirmed.
Which one of those two do you think is actually going to vote for him, though? Because they've said this before. They have backed down.
Well, they
down.
Both voted for Brett Kavanaugh. They both approved Brett Kavanaugh.
They have been nothing but disappointments to democracy probably for like a solid 15, 20 years now, where they talk a good game, and at the end they bend and break. And I wouldn't be surprised if one, if not both of them, vote for Pete Hegseth and give something – some sort of excuse of like, well, we really talked about it and we felt he was the best guy for the job.
Joni Ernst is going to vote for him, and she is a sexual assault survivor. Yeah. News is coming up next. And then when we return, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. It took Vice President J.D. Vance to break a 50-50 tie in the Senate late last night, but Pete Hegseth was confirmed as Secretary of Defense. More from CBS News correspondent Carissa Lawson.
The big surprise of the night was Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, who did vote no. The other Republican senators who voted no were Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. They publicly made their intentions known going into this vote. Another surprise was Tom Tillis of North Carolina. He was undecided, but he spoke for several hours with Hegseth, and he voted yes.
President Trump got an in-person look at the devastation of the Los Angeles wildfires yesterday, as we hear from CBS News Los Angeles reporter Tom Waite.
The president having some, you know, tense exchanges at times with Democratic officials who were here at the meeting, including LA Mayor Karen Bass, as President Trump pushed her pretty hard on the issue of getting people back into their homes here in the Palisades. The mayor saying she needs people to stay safe.
But we are going to move as fast as we can, but we want you to be safe, and we want you to be back in your homes immediately.
But the people are willing to clean out their own debris. It doesn't cost a lot.
Yes, and they can.
You should let them do it, because by the time you hire contractors, it's going to be 2 years.
Earlier, Trump visited flood-ravaged Asheville, North Carolina, where he said he is considering getting rid of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The White House press secretary says, quote, the largest massive deportation operation in history is well underway, and that includes the raid on a work site in Newark, New Jersey, where Mayor Ross Baraka said ICE agents stormed the building without a warrant. CBS's Jake Rosen is following.
Donald Trump has promised these immigration raids, has promised to kind of show a force all across the country. We'll see how big and how large these kind of scale up over the next couple of days. But doing it near New York City is certainly a targeted message, especially in a blue state and a sanctuary city like Newark.
It is 10 a.m. in Gaza, where dozens of Hamas fighters are gathered now for a hostage handover. Hamas is releasing 4 female Israeli soldiers, and Israel will release about 200 Palestinian prisoners. This as the ceasefire holds.
In Gaza, tens of thousands of people are hoping to return north this weekend. In the south, people have already been making their way home, so many finding nothing but rubble. Others, like Mohammed Keshta, finding the remains of his brother after 200